Welcome to the teachings of Father Al Lauer.
How Jesus healed in the Gospels. We not only teach, but as always, we worship the Lord, we praise Him, we repent of our sins, and then we get into the Word of God. So we're excited about this, and we want you to join with us as we worship the Lord. I'm going to sprinkle each one of you with this holy water. That means you're baptized. That means you're a child of God. That means you're a son or a daughter of the Heavenly Father. That means you're washed in the blood of Jesus. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit, and you have reason to praise the Lord, okay? Let's praise Him right now. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all the kingdoms of my heart. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all the kingdoms of my heart. Now I'm going to sing that again now, and I want you to really mean this. Just think, if you sing, I surrender all, you mean, I surrender all, and all means all. Now I know some of you will have to wait before you sing that because you're not ready, but we're going to try it again, and some of you will be able to sing that, and it will be a tremendous decision, all right?
Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all the kingdoms of my heart.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just give it all to you. We trust you completely. We lay our lives before you. Lord Jesus, you're the one. Your name is holy. Your name is above every other name. At your name, every knee must bend. Every tongue proclaim that you are Lord Jesus Christ. You are Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Send your Holy Spirit to us. You're worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory and honor and power belong to you. Lord, you died for us. You rose from the dead. What more can you do? Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Glory to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise and honor and blessing belong to you, Lord. You're the one. Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's pray now. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Now let's ask the Lord's forgiveness right now. This is so important. If we do not ask His forgiveness, there will be something standing between us and the Lord. I'm going to just kneel for a moment, and I'm going to ask that you would get into a state of really getting serious about repentance, okay? Let's just repent now, just for a few seconds, okay? So Jesus, you died to take away my sins. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Jesus, you shed your precious blood to wash away my sins. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Jesus, you hung on the cross for 3 hours in utter agony to set me free. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And may Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. Let us pray. Father, right now, there are people watching this program who are doubting Thomas's, who are skeptical, who have never really worshipped you in spirit and in truth, but today is an opportunity for them to receive healing, to receive life, to receive salvation. Satan, we throw you out as you try to hinder the work of God, and Jesus, just do anything you want now. Jesus, we just open up our lives and say, come, Lord Jesus, do anything, anytime, be glorified in us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen, amen. As we said before, our subject is how Jesus healed in the Gospels. And we're going to begin with a reading from Mark and the very first chapter.
A reading from Mark chapter 1, verses 22 through 27. The people were spellbound by his teaching, because he taught with authority and not like the scribes. There appeared in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit that shrieked, "What do you want of us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him sharply, "Be quiet, come out of that man." At that, the unclean spirit convulsed the man violently and with a loud shriek came out of him. All who looked on were amazed. They began to ask one another, "What does this mean? A completely new teaching in a spirit of authority. He gives orders to unclean spirits and they obey." And this is the word of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Let's look into our scriptures. I hope you have your Bibles handy. When you look at Jesus' healing, and I mean look at the scriptures, you might notice something, that Jesus never prays for healing. Now, that's not to say we are forbidden to pray for healing, because in James chapter 5, it says if someone is sick, that person should call for the elders of the church, who will lay hands on that person and pray for that person and anoint that person, and that person will receive healing. So we are told in the Bible to pray for healing. We are told one time, at least in the New Testament, and that is in the book of James. But as we look in the Gospels, Jesus never uses that approach. How does Jesus heal? Vivian just read it. In Mark, in chapter 1, verse 22, the people were spellbound by his teaching because he taught with authority and not like the scribes. That's what made Jesus so special. Oh, they heard teachings for years, and probably they even heard some of the teachings that Jesus gave. They were not totally original, but there was something different about Jesus. He taught with authority and not like the scribes. And after Jesus delivered that person from the devil, what was the reaction? In verse 27, what does this mean? A completely new teaching in a spirit of authority. In a spirit of authority, he gives orders to unclean spirits and they obey him. The thing about Jesus was he ordered unclean spirits around. He even ordered sicknesses around. He ordered people around, not in a bossy way, but as a servant. He told that man, "Go and show yourself to the priest." He told that man, "Go and sin no more." He told that fella, "Pick up your mat and walk." You know, Jesus gave orders. Jesus expressed authority, authority over demons, authority over diseases, and authority over people, and authority over me and you, if we would just come under his lordship. That's how Jesus operates. Jesus heals as Lord. Jesus heals as someone in authority. That's the most important thing to remember about Jesus' ministry and about his healing ministry. Now, really, when you look at the Gospels, healing is an exercise of authority in order to help a person express their faith. That's basically what healing is. An exercise of authority on the part of the healer to bring forth from the person to be healed an act of faith. Now, the authority is exercised in a number of ways. Like, I would say, three major ways. The authority is sometimes exercised by a gift of knowledge. Knowing something supernaturally. Knowing something you could not know by natural means. When you do that, it is very powerful. It shows that you have credentials to be an authority. Right now, if you had cancer. I didn't know you had cancer. I didn't even know your name. I didn't know anything about you. And I would just go up and say, your name is Jane McIntosh. 3 weeks ago, on the 14th of the month, you were told at 3 o'clock in the afternoon by Dr. Smith that you have cancer. Do you know me, Jane? Have I ever met you before? I don't ever seen you before in my life. Well, I'm just sharing this because the Lord told me about that. You know, and then I'd say, now, Jane, I want you now to go home, and I want you to begin to pray every day with your husband. You think she'd do it? Sure she would. Maybe she wouldn't have done it before, but when I exercised this gift of knowledge, when I said something that really showed that I had an anointing from God on me, then when I told her to do something, she certainly would do it. So you see, you exercise authority by using that gift of knowledge. Another way the Lord does this is by a point of contact. You know, you exercise authority by laying hands upon a person. And you say, now, do you believe the Lord will heal you? And you say, yes, I do. Well, I want you to express that faith. And I don't mean just in general, but I mean when I lay my hands upon you, I am asking the Lord. I am claiming for you the healing that He won upon Calvary for you. So I'm laying my hands on you. You lay hands on that person and they experience a power. They experience a heat. They experience something going forth from your hands. Do you think they're going to respond with faith? Of course they are. Even if they don't feel a heat or a power or electricity, if they just sense the presence and the power of God in some manner or other, you know, that means they're going to open up. That means they're going to express their faith. That means they're going to get their healing. You see what I mean? So sometimes the authority is knowledge, supernatural knowledge. Sometimes the authority is expressed as a point of contact. And sometimes the authority is focused to bring forth from the person an act of faith. Now, if they already have faith, you don't have to give them an act of faith. They already got it. But if they don't, you have to lead them to that. You know, I believe a healer will operate in one of three ways. Now, one way, if the person's got faith, and the Lord, of course, already has won healing for them, all you have to do is bring them together. I would say you would be something like an extension cord. There's the power, and there's the situation that needs power, and you're just an extension cord connecting the two. You know, now that's when the person has faith. Now there's another case where the person doesn't have faith, but they are not expected to have faith at this point in their life. Maybe they're an unbeliever, and this healing is going to lead them to salvation. Well, then you know what you are. You're not just an extension cord, you're an adapter. You take what God wants, which would not fit that person because that person does not have faith. That person cannot claim the promises of God. And you are an adapter, and you take something that would not connect, and by you being in there and by your act of faith, you connect it. You see what I mean? So a lot of times you can heal people who have no faith, but they're not expected to have faith because they've never really had an opportunity to open up to the Lord. And you can just heal them by your own faith. Now, later on, they're going to have faith for themselves. But right now, they're not expected to. And you can just have faith for them, and they'll receive. Now, a lot of people, they don't have faith, but they should have faith. And so you can't be an adapter for them. You can't make it work without them doing anything. In that case, you've got to open them up. You've got to. Faith opens them up. Faith opens them up so that they'll fit in, so they could plug in to the healing that the Lord's already done. Do you see what I mean? There's these extension cords now, and they got a little cap on them. and you have to turn the cap to make the holes open up. Basically, when a person doesn't have faith who's seeking healing, but they should have faith at this point in their life, then you've got to try to move them, try to build them with faith to turn that little cap so that you can plug Jesus' healing right into that. Now, just to clarify what I've been saying here, we're going to talk about this quite a bit, but I'm going to just quickly go through Mark's gospel and just explain how Jesus exercises his authority to lead a person to make an act of faith most of the time. Occasionally, he'll just have faith for them. Look at Mark chapter 1, verse 29. Here we have Peter's mother-in-law, and she has a fever. Now, Jesus just walks in there. He doesn't pray for her. I said he never prays for anybody for healing. And he just, first thing he does, he just goes over there and he just takes her hand. There's that point of contact. Soon as she felt Jesus' hand, she knew she could make an act of faith. You know what she did? She started to get up. He started to help her up. How did he exercise authority? Grabbing her hand and helping her up. You know, that's what you do. You see a sick person there. Now, if the Lord's calling you to exercise your authority that way, you go up to that person, you take their hand, you help them up. Now, that's authority. If you don't believe that's authority, you go do that. You say, I can't do that. You know, see, that's an exercise of authority. That's why you're having trouble doing that. But that's what Jesus did. Now, I'm not saying just do that anytime you feel like it. I'm saying do it when Jesus tells you to do it. But look at Mark 1:34. It says, those whom he cured who were variously afflicted were many, and so were the demons he expelled. But he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. You know, Jesus is really in control. He says, I'm giving you orders. You're not allowed to say anything. Notice when he tells demons they're not allowed to say anything, they don't say anything because they're under his authority. He tells people they're not allowed to say anything, and they just blab it all over because people don't have to necessarily be under Jesus' authority. Sad to say. You might say, well, how did Jesus know to go up and just grab her hand and lift her up? How did he know to exercise authority in that way? Obviously, when he did that, and she knew in her heart that that was right, she expressed her faith and she got healed. But how did she know to do that? Well, I'll tell you how. Look at Mark 1:35. Rising early the next morning, he went off to a lonely place in the desert, and there he was absorbed in prayer. You do the healings in the nursing home because of your prayer closet, you know. You do the healings in the hospital because of your quiet time. You do your healings in the big healing services because of those early mornings or late nights when you're there all by yourself with the Lord. You see what I mean? He did his big healings at night because of early morning. That's why. You understand how this works? Now, let's go on. Verse 38. They told Jesus, why don't we stay here because you're a big hit here. Jesus said, I can't stay here. I have to move on. How did he heal people? He was at the right place at the right time. How did he get the right place at the right time? Because he was knowing what his Father's will was. You see? You got to be under authority if you're going to be in authority. You see what I mean? And you got to be in authority if you're going to heal. So you'll not see a healer who will really have much of a ministry unless that person's under authority, because to be in authority, you have to be under authority, and to heal, you've got to be in authority. You know, one thing I've noticed about people who are in the healing ministry, they have all different ways of doing things. But every gifted healer I've ever seen always has a spirit of authority that we read about here. That's the main thing about healing. Okay, let's look at Mark 1:41. Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand. This is a leper. Touched him and said, I do will it, be cured. Now talk about authority there. He wasn't allowed to touch that leper. And if he did, he'd probably get contaminated. He might have gotten leprosy. He might be ostracized, and he might end up dying a miserable death. It takes a lot of guts. It takes a lot of authority to just go in there and touch him. But that's what he did. See what I mean? And so when a leper sees somebody touching him, it ain't just a touch. It's a touch of authority. It shows power. It elicits faith from that man. And of course, the man's healed. You see, you exercise authority in such a way as to elicit faith. Faith that they already have, or if they don't have it, to build up some faith so they can have it. That's how you do. Exercise authority to elicit the faith that is there, or to build up faith that is not there but needs to come into existence. All right, do you understand? Okay, Mark 2, verse 5, here's the paralytic. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, these were the four men who were lowering this man down from the roof. When Jesus saw their faith, what do you think the rest of the sentence would be? You'd think, well, then he told those men, you got a lot of faith. Or you got a lot of nerve tearing that roof apart. You know, but he doesn't talk to the men. You say, when he saw them, you would think he would say to them. But that's not how it goes. It says, when he saw them, when he saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man. Now wait, when you see somebody, you would talk to somebody instead of talk to somebody else. But in this case, when he saw them, he talked to him. When he saw them with their faith, he talked to this man, and know what he said? Now, this is really authority. This is really authority. He says, my son. Now, just to go up to a person who's probably older than you are and say, my son, that has an authoritative ring to it. My son, your sins are forgiven you. Now, you go up to a person and say, your sins are forgiven. That is really authority. The scribes and Pharisees really got upset about that and said, that's blasphemous. You can't talk like that. I've seen people express authority, but this is too far. This is ridiculous. And it says, this is blasphemy. You can't do that. And Jesus said, well, the Son of Man has authority. He has authority on earth to forgive sins. And he exercised that authority. And he said, okay, and now this man's ready. This man is ready to believe. This man, by Jesus saying, how did Jesus know the cause of the paralysis was sin? He just knew. How could Jesus stand up to these Pharisees and scribes? Because he knew who he was. And so the way Jesus was acting was eliciting quite a bit of faith from this paralyzed man. And then he just says, okay. Now, if he would have said to the man right away, first time he's seen him, if he would have said, stand up, pick up your mat and go home, the man would have just stared at him. He wouldn't have did anything. But after this exercise of authority, then culminating in one more exercise of authority, a command, the man stood up and went home. You see what I mean? I believe the key verse in the whole Bible on healing is found in Mark chapter 9 and verse 24. This is the father of the boy who was possessed. And the father turns to Jesus and says, can you do anything? And Jesus says, don't talk about what I can do. There ain't no question about what I can do. The question is, what about you? What can you accept from me? And the boy's father said, this is Mark 9:24. He said, I do believe. Help my lack of faith. I believe the main thing for a healer is to, if a person's got faith, just connect them with the healing power of God. Very simple. Just like an extension cord. But most of the time, the person doesn't have enough faith. They got some. They can say, I believe, just like that man. But they have to also say, but I don't believe enough. I help my lack of faith. The main thing for a healer is to help a person's lack of faith. And you know, that's why you can't heal people instantaneously. Once you make that move, they'll get healed instantaneously. But you have to do a few things before that. You have to exercise some authority before that. You have to touch them before that. You have to express a gift of knowledge before that. You have to make a command before that. You have to exercise some authority to elicit some faith from that person, to build up some faith that ain't even there yet. You see what I mean? Now, I'm not saying that's always the case. Sometimes, especially for an unbeliever, you can heal them with they having no faith whatsoever. But especially for a believer, you've got to work with their faith. And some people already got faith, and it's very simple. You just say, you got faith, God wants to heal you, bang, that's that. You don't have to do anything. It's just like taking a cord and just plugging it in. You know, that's nothing to it. But most of the time, you plug it in, it don't fit. Because that person ain't right yet. That person's not lined up with the healing power of God. So you have to make some changes in that person by exercising authority. That's what Jesus did. Okay, let's go back. I was going to spend a long time, get through this real quick, but I'm not doing it. So we're going to have a little more time on this. But let's go back to Mark and chapter 3, verse 3. Mark 3:3. Here's this man with a shriveled hand, and the scribes and Pharisees are really out to get Jesus. And Jesus just exercises authority. He says, I'm not afraid of you guys at all. If you're out to kill me, I'm going to just give you a shot at me. I'm going to stand right up here in front of you. You're trying to give me a hard time? And so he said to the man with the shriveled hand, stand up here in front. And then he told the man, stretch out your hand. And the man did so, and his hand was perfect. Boy, Jesus was really showing some courage there. He was showing courage. That's how he was exercising his authority. Now, I want you to come back with us next time, and we're going to go more into Mark. We had so much fun here, we didn't cover all the passages that we were thinking of. But we're going to get into them next time. It's so wonderful to see how Jesus operates. And it's the same Jesus, you know. It's the same Jesus yesterday, today, and forever. Let's pray right now. Oh, Jesus, you're moving around and you're touching people and you're saying things to people. You're surprising people. You're standing up to the powers that be. You're claiming your victory. You're seated at the right hand of the Father. And Lord, may that exercise of your lordship and your authority just open us up and build us up in faith so we can receive the healing that has already been won on Calvary. Thank you, Jesus, for making it all possible. We praise you, we adore you, and we love you.
You have been listening to Father Al Lauer. Visit our website, PresentationMinistries.com.